This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, this is Derek Haskins, Communications Director for the South Dakota Department of Health. Thank you for joining us for our daily COVID-19 case update call. I'm joined by Dr. Joshua Clayton, State Epidemiologist, and Kim Malcolm-Risden, Secretary of Health. We'll have Dr. Clayton give today's update, and then we'll take your questions. I did want to note for you all, I think you all have noticed posted on our social media channels that our website and a number of state websites are down this morning. Our IT team is working to address that, and we will post to our social channels as soon as today's update is live on the website. But Dr. Clayton will go ahead and give the top line data that we give during these calls each day, and then we'll take your questions. So I'll turn it over now to Dr. Clayton.
Good morning, everyone. So today we are reporting 87 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 8 new hospitalizations, as well as 2 new deaths, 1 among a Minnehaha County resident, and 1 among a Pennington County resident. We have 79 new individuals who have recovered from COVID-19. And we also have, 3,876 new negative tests that have been performed. So this does represent the highest number of negative tests that we have seen in a single day. For our totals, we have 5,247 COVID-19 cases in the state. This does include 1,020 active infections, as well as 4,163 individuals who have recovered from the virus. We have 86 individuals who are currently hospitalized and 64 deaths. This does bring our total number of individuals that have tested negative for COVID-19 to 47,376. For the community impacts map, we have 3 changes. The first is a Dewey County is being lowered to no community spread. The case that was identified in that county is actually a resident of another county. For Hanson County, we're elevating from no community spread to minimal to moderate spread. And for Ogallala Lakota County, we are elevating them from minimal to moderate to substantial spread. For new cases by county, we have 33 in Beadle, 4 in Brown, 3 in Clay, 1 in Coddington, 1 in Custer, 1 in Day, 1 in Hamlin, 1 in Giralds, 2 in Lake, 3 in Lincoln, 1 in Lyman, 2 in Meade, 8 in Minnehaha, 2 in Ogallala Lakota, 18 in Pennington, 1 in Roberts, 3 in Todd, 1 in Union, and 1 in Z-Box. For the new cases by age range, we have 19 in the 0 to 19-year age category, 25 in the 20 to 29-year age category, 20 in the 30 to 39-year age category, 7 in the 40 to 49-year age category, 9 in the 50 to 59-year age category, 4 in the 60 to 69-year age category, 1 in the 70 to 79-year age category, and 2 in the 80 and over category. For new cases by sex, we have 42 that are male and 45 that are female. For the deaths, we have deaths by county, 5 in Beadle, 1 in Brown, 1 in Giralds, 1 in McCook, 50 in Minnehaha, 5 in Pennington, and 1 in Todd. For deaths by age range, we have 1 in the 20 to 29 year age category, 3 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 4 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 8 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 11 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 6 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 31 in the 80 and over category. For deaths by sex, we have 28 that are male and 36 that are female.
All right, we will take your questions.
JP from KOI News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Good morning. I understand that nursing home patients are confined to their rooms at this time. Is that a Department of Health regulation?
JP, this is Kim Alston-Reisen. So the recommendation from the CDC is that long-term care facilities limit visitors kind of according to some guidelines to reduce the risk of COVID in those facilities. They have the CDC has provided some additional information around when those kinds of restrictions can ease up, and we have a group of folks working on that right now for South Dakota, but we are still in that first phase of needing to restrict visitors for at least a few more days. So that we can make sure that we're not putting folks at risk.
Okay, and if I may follow up, when the state gives that okay to relax the restrictions, will that be a decision that can be made locally by the respective facilities?
That's correct. So what we will be putting forth is guidance on kind of a phased approach to allowing more normal activities while balancing, the need to watch for COVID.
Next question.
Benjamin Chase of the Huron Plainsman.
Go ahead, Benjamin.
Yes, I have a question on LSI. I know that they had done some weekend mass testing, and from what I understand that hadn't shown up quite yet. Likely that's part of what we're seeing today. I'm curious what the numbers are there as a first question, and then have a second follow-up question after that, if I could.
Sure. I'll go ahead and do the rundown of the clusters that we have. So we have Dakota with 137 individuals who have recovered out of 163 cases. For LSI Jack Link, we have 47 individuals that have recovered out of 99 cases. And then we do have an update for the Smithfield cluster cases that 843 of the 853 individuals are considered recovered.
Okay, and then my second question on that, we have not had, with Smithfield originally, we had their close contacts as well traced and reported from in these media briefings. Is there a reason we don't have those with DMCODA and LSI?
So the modification has just been around, the number of contacts, that were becoming cases and it being our initial cluster in this among these meat-producing facilities. So at this time, because there is not an identified large risk to the community, we have not been providing specific updates about the close contacts that those individuals may have that are primarily limited to their household members.
Yes, thank you.
Next question.
Jackie with SDPB.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Thanks. I'm sorry if you've covered this in previous days. I've been on other assignments. But when we're seeing the steady increase in cases in Beadle County, when they were kind of the original success story and getting things under control with their initial outbreak, can you go into detail about why we're seeing this level of an increase again in Beadle County?
Yeah, so, you know, it is in part related to some of the identification of a cluster within local that local business, LSI Jack Link. I think that also provides some opportunity of getting individuals who are close contacts, maybe symptomatic, in for testing, and just a, you know, just as a generality, that we're seeing additional transmission within the community. You know, we are seeing a lot of cases in counties where we have either not had cases previously or are seeing some increasing of cases. Similar to Beadle County initially, we're seeing decreased new cases in Minnehaha and Lincoln counties, but are seeing increased cases in Pennington County as an example. And I think it represents a little bit of the ebb and flow of cases as the COVID-19 virus finds susceptible populations to infect.
Next question.
Thanks. And a quick follow-up, if I can. Just wondering if you are able to tell us if any of the cases in Beadle are tied to the nursing home testing.
I don't have the specific numbers. We know that of all of the testing that has been done within nursing home settings, it represents less than one-half of 1% is the positivity, you know, within those, of those who have been tested, excuse me. And so there is a contribution of long-term care facilities in general to the numbers, but not at a substantial level.
Great. Thank you.
Next question.
This is Lisa with the Argus Leader.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Just wondering if you're still expecting the state speech to be about mid-June.
The initial modeling assumptions, you know, were focused on whether all one of the major underlying assumptions to the initial planning assumptions that we had were that all parts of the state, all counties, would experience an increase in COVID-19 at the same time. And kind of as we have seen our understanding of COVID-19 grow, we have identified that we do have more of an ebb and flow of cases impacting counties at different times when a susceptible population is identified. And so I think we will continue to see cases that occur, you know, for the foreseeable future. But the primary focus, you know, on our hospital, primary focus for the using those models was on our hospital bed capacity. And so we continue to use that as our planning assumptions for what we need to put in place so that we can maintain appropriate health care for those who need it.
Next question.
Okay, and just wondering, I just had a follow-up to that. You're talking about a peak, and, you know, I know here in Minnehaha we've seen our cases decreasing. And at this point, are you guys expecting a peak again sometime later this year?
I think it's you know, too early to really identify, you know, what we might see, whether it will be you know, just continuing clusters of cases, whether we might see a resurgent peak. But if we look at you know, historically with pandemics, which, you know, most of the pandemics in past human history have been influenza pandemics, there have been multiple waves for those pandemics. And so I do think that if the conditions are right, that we will see, you know, additional cases that will be another kind of wave or surge of cases.
Next question.
Yes, JP.
Hey, John.
Radio.
Argus Leader.
I'll go with the Argus Leader.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I asked this question last week, and you didn't necessarily have the number, but with all the mass testing, do you guys have been able to calculate asymptomatic rates?
So we have looked at the amount of individuals who have been tested and whether they've been asymptomatic versus symptomatic, and we are seeing that number increase. We're seeing overall, in terms of our testing, over 10% of cases have been asymptomatic. And I do anticipate that, with all of the mass testing events, that number will continue to grow.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
We have time for one more question.
Yes, JP from KON News Radio.
Go ahead, JP.
Thank you very much. Earlier today, Governor Kristi Noem announced the plans for the Mount Rushmore 4th of July celebration as such. What is the South Dakota Department of Health's role in planning for this event?
JP, this is Kim Olson Rice, and so we have been working with the Department of Tourism. They are the main agency working on logistics and providing them the relevant guidance to help keep people safe and help them with making sure that they have the best available information.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for joining us today, and we'll visit with you tomorrow.